Now, brethren, as a delightful start to the baptismal service, we'll be favored with a duet by Sister Mary Malley and Sister Dawn Krupa. Thank you, sisters. Brother Walter Bleachers will be the one to give us the baptismal discourse. I'm sure we'll all have thoughts in our minds when we look back to when our immersion service was. So we're happy to have him here, and we'll now have the meeting turned over to Brother Walter.
Thank you, Brother Charles. I would like to introduce to you the new members of the family. When I call your name, I would like you to stand and remain standing and face the audience. We have Brother Lee Hartley from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Brother Bruce Kimball from Bolivar, Ohio. Sister Helen Sawicki from Detroit, Michigan. And we have a little different arrangement. We have brother and sister, husband and wife, Esther and Ed Futchkar from Fort Myers, Florida. And then we have Dan Wessel from Hartford, Connecticut. Thank you, brethren. You may be seated. In Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 20th verse, we read, "My son, attend to my words, for they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh." Therefore, a thoughtful person will consider and value life as a most precious possession, even though at times it may seem to be full of trouble and suffering. And then also happiness and peace are much sought after, aren't they? And they too are valued as being something very precious. But when one has health and happiness, he is inclined to consider other tangible things as being precious. You know, those which Jesus said in Matthew 6, 19 and 20, those things which moth and rust can destroy. But there is something which is very precious to our Heavenly Father. And it is because you, Brother Lee, Brother Bruce, Sister Helen, Sister Esther, Brother Ed, and Brother Dan, because you did something with your heart. Yes, you did something with your heart. And it is beautifully worded in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter and the 26th verse, where it says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." And so we conclude that you did give your heart to the Heavenly Father, and you have been observing his ways and recognize the fact that he has called you to a high calling. And as you trod the narrow way, the meaning of Paul's statement in Romans, the 6th chapter and the third verse will unfold and become very meaningful to you. That is that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus, were baptized into his death. What it really means is that we become part of the body. And we, as body members, share in the experiences that he also had and that each of the body members have. And this kind of a life is a life that is very precious to our Heavenly Father. And when faithful, we have not only the assurance that we are the apple of his eye and that we are precious, he considers us as his jewels, but also we have the beautiful words of the psalmist in 116:15, where he says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Therefore, brethren, this very service is precious to our Heavenly Father, because these brethren have already made a vow of consecration, and now they are about to manifest it through the symbol of water baptism. Now, there's no need for this service to have an atmosphere of sadness. Rather, it should be a rather joyous occasion, shouldn't it? Even though we recognize the fact that it is very serious, very serious. It is joyous because it's a response to an invitation, and not to force, and not to coercion. Baptism is not compulsory. It must be done willingly. Actually, baptism is the result of a heart searching and desiring to know and to do the Heavenly Father's will. And this desire is based upon the love of God that constraineth us. Your attitude and your sentiment are reflected in the beautiful prophecy concerning our Lord's consecration in Psalms, the 40th chapter and the 8th verse, where our Lord, in responding to the invitation, he says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart." Therefore, consecration is a wholehearted devotion to the Lord. And I'm sure that you're aware of that. And as you continue to grow and to develop, you will learn to appreciate this more and more of your consecrated life. It means the heart and the will are involved. And only this kind of an attitude will enable one to manifest love for the Lord. I'm sure that there are many thoughts that are going through your mind at this particular time. Questions, doubts, and maybe even a measure of fear. Such as, you might be thinking, "What am I doing up here? Am I really able to complete this vow which I have made? Can I be faithful to the Heavenly Father? Others seem to be so much better than I am. Will I be able to be an overcomer?" I'm sure that these thoughts, not only now, but for quite some time as you have considered the invitation and the call, and before you made your decision, these thoughts have been in your mind. And after you made the decision, they still may sort of haunt you, as it were. Or maybe you may be even thinking of the questions that I'm going to ask you at the conclusion of the service. Well, I'm going to repeat those questions now, so you need not fear as to what they will be. And you know that your answer will be in an affirmative. The questions which I will ask later are, 1, do you realize that by nature you are a sinner, and have you repented? The second question will be, have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, trusting in His merit as the basis of your justification? And the third question, have you consecrated yourself without reservation to God? Well, that won't be much of a problem, will it? So if such thoughts are troubling you, relax and be at peace, because we want you to know that most of us have had these similar experiences and thoughts, just as you may be going through right now. But you may ask, why are they coming again at this time? Well, I think that one lesson is suggested in the hymn that we often sing. When I think of self, I tremble. But when I think of thee, I'm strong. And I want you to remember that this will be one of the keys to your spiritual growth and happiness. Think upon the Lord. Think how He encountered experiences in His life. Think and remember the assurances and the promises that He had made. And His promises are never broken. Also, we want you to remember the world and the flesh will more than ever be telling you, find yourself. But Jesus said, lose yourself. And so remember, when you face the world, that this will be one of the experiences that will challenge you. Remember that you have given yourself to the Lord, and you know what it means to follow in His footsteps. Now, another key will be to consider Him as Paul had suggested to us in Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 3rd verse. Consider Him, Paul said, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. And so, brethren, whatever the experience may be, may come your way, never let it get you down. Never let it get you down. But remember that the Lord will be there. If you begin to fall, He'll be there to get you by the hand and pick you up again, if you trust in Him. Well, we said consider Him. All right. What did Jesus do? What did He think? And what did He say in His trying experience? On the 41st day, after his water baptism, when he returned from the wilderness tired and hungry, he quickly had three severe temptations. And the proximity of time to his temptations, to his consecration, is perhaps maybe an experience which you may have. Shortly after this experience of your water baptism, this wonderful convention and fellowship, as you go back to your homes, you will find that you may be confronted with some rather severe temptations. And so one of the keys, as we mentioned, would be to consider him. So what did he think? He didn't think of self. He had many opportunities where the adversary presented self. Yes, find yourself. But Jesus said, lose yourself. And that's just what he did. And so we need to be reminded of this attitude often. What did he do? He took immediate positive action. Do not hesitate. Do not procrastinate. When you know what you should do is the right thing to do, don't try to mediate. Don't try to rationalize to where you rationalize yourself in doing what the adversary wants to do. Jesus took immediate positive action. And this is the example that we urge you to consider and to follow. What did he say? It is written. And so we find that by saying that, he was telling the adversary he relied on the word of God. And so this is the same course of action that you could incorporate into your Christian life. Remember the experience of the Master and what and how he responded and reacted in his experience. And this will be a source of comfort and strength to you. Now, within the framework of our consecrated life, which the Apostle Paul styles in Romans 12:1 is a reasonable service, it would be necessary that our lives daily should be molded or patterned after our Master's example. His way led to ultimate victory over his foes and resulted in pleasing the Heavenly Father. And we have that statement on two or three occasions when he said, the Heavenly Father said, my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, you can also hear those words. All of us can hear these words if we are the faithful followers of our Lord. If we do those things which the Father finds pleases him. But we have the choice. We have the opportunity. And we have the assurance that we can do it if we want to do it. Surely, Helen and Esther and Ed, Lee, Dan and Brother Bruce, this is your desire and hope. We're sure of that. And it is also ours. But what was his way? And remember how he suggested the fact that it's a narrow, rugged way. Yes, it is really rugged. But where it leads is of greatest importance. And this is our determination and our courage to press on. Yeah, the broad road could lead to destruction, but the narrow road leads to life. So the narrow road suggests the various types of experiences of our Christian life. But the goal is the thought of pleasing the Heavenly Father. To be able to traverse this pathway necessitates a course of action of, I like to suggest, four steps. One would be that you will find the need of daily study and the meditation of his word. Because this is where you will find what his will is. Just as Jesus referred to it as written. And so you will be better fortified as a Christian soldier to react to the experiences that come your way by it is written. Not necessarily to rebuff someone, but to be encouraged that the Lord has promised help and succor in every time of need. Secondly, you will find that daily prayer will be very important. He was very important to our Master, and he was perfect. How often he was found by disciples in prayer. Daily in prayer, acknowledging his goodness, his mercy, and also requesting our needs, because he promised to answer our prayers if they are according to his will. Three, taking advantage of every opportunity of assembling ourselves with the brethren for
for mutual edification and encouragement. Yes, that is very, very important. And if you find yourself by circumstance to be alone, you can have this fellowship through telephone conversation, through the various media of tapes or letters. But in some way or another, if you're alone, try to get this fellowship, this encouragement, which you will find to be a great source of strength for you. Four, looking for opportunities to witness about the coming kingdom blessings. 3.5 years of our Lord's ministry were spent in talking about the kingdom blessings. And so that is something that we are looking forward to. We hope to be the ministers of reconciliation and helping the world of mankind. So we're in the process of being educated in the school of Christ. We learn from His Word, from one another, through conventions like this, for that very purpose, that we can not only be faithful in our walk, but that we can be instrumental in God's hand. Now, the realization that the Creator of this grand universe with its planets, its stars, its suns, and its solar system is our Father, and that He has called us, is really staggering, isn't it? I'm sure that you must have thought about that. That He has called us, and He wants us to recognize Him as our Father, and we are His sons. We really cannot comprehend the full meaning of this. No, we cannot. And many times we wonder why He called us, but that's not what we should be considering. We should remember the fact that He did call us. That's the important thing. He did call us. And we have evidences and assurances to attest this. In Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. And again in John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father draw him. So you see, there is a calling, and God did call you. And again, Jesus said in Matthew 13:16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So without a doubt, very definitely, we see that this is God's doing, the fact that He had called you to be His sons. Now, in the great providences of God, there are many blessings. Blessings which I'm sure that you have already have realized and seen in yourself and in your fellow brethren. There is the immediate reward of knowing the smile of His approval. We somehow know when God is pleased with what we've done, what we said, or where we were. And consequently, or conversely I should say, we know when we may have done something that didn't win His approval. So in our daily activities, we should recognize those things that we know would receive a smile from the Heavenly Father, His approval. Then there's the daily reward of recognizing and knowing the providences of God in our life. This will become more understandable to you as you continue in your Christian life. The realization that God's providences are directing your life. And as you continue in your Christian life, and you look back, and you will see how providence overruled in this experience or that experience. Or perhaps already, in talking with some of you, you've already recognized that the Lord had been directing your lives and led you to the point to where you recognize that He was dealing with you. We have what Paul calls the present inheritance as children, yea, sons of God. And besides this, remember that it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, which means that we will be privileged to extend the blessings to all the families of the earth. And I often have said that that's one of the things that's so unusual with the, hate to use the word religion, but with the our understanding of religion, what it is. It's not only the personal hope we have, but the hope we have for others. That this is the joy. And I think that many times in our witnessing, in our efforts of sacrifice, is because we realize that the world is going to receive such wonderful blessings that they have no understanding about whatsoever. As John tells us, it hasn't even entered into the mind of man the things that God has promised for them. So, Sister Helen, Sister Esther, Brother Lee, Brother Bruce, and Brother Red, and Brother Dan, today is a day which you will long remember. A day that you will cherish as the day of your water baptism, a public witness to your brethren of what already has transpired in your heart, and that is a consecration to the Heavenly Father. I'm sure that those of us who have had this experience of water baptism recall it as a sweet memory. And this occasion will be a sweet memory to you. And it's rekindled every baptismal service we witness. And every time that we sing the hymn, Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Weak and poor, despised, forsaken, thou from henceforth my all shall be. Although this is a rather special service for you, it is also an appropriate occasion for the consecrated to reaffirm their consecration and determination to seek to know and to do his will more perfectly. Every baptismal service should have this effect upon us. Because after all, consecration is most important. And at times it may seem to be a complicated affair, but it's really not. We know that it's definite, and above all, it must be complete. In Romans, the 6th chapter and the 4th verse, we read, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like in newness of life, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And again, Paul tells us in Colossians 13:3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Consecration means obedience to the Spirit's every call. It means life through death of self. It means death through life of God. And Paul explains it this way in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 7th to the 10th verses. For what things are gained, we count loss for Christ. We count all things of this world loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, and to be found in him, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness of God by faith, that we might know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means we might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now you may have noticed in the scriptures that we have read that there's no mention of water, but instead they seem to emphasize that true baptism is following the example set by our Lord. And so we find that his baptism lasted long after Jordan, long after the time that he was just dipped into the river Jordan. In fact, sometime later, in Luke the 12th chapter and the 50th verse, Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. Actually, his baptism, his real baptism, was from Jordan to Calvary. Let's put it another way. His baptism was a way of life. And so this will be your new way of life, being baptized into the same hopes, ambitions, and prospects that our Lord had. And this is what it means to share in his baptism. His disciples later learned that there was more to baptism than water immersion. And Paul in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 13th verse, enlarges on this by saying, by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. We are baptized into Jesus Christ, or into his death, is what it actually means. This is what Jesus meant when he said, If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's just what he meant. It was a way of life, being baptized into his way of life. When the two disciples asked for positions of favor in the kingdom, Jesus asked them, are ye able to drink of my cup and be baptized with my baptism? And remember that they had answered that we are able. But at that time, they didn't know all that was involved, because Pentecost had not yet come and the Spirit had not been poured out. But later they really recognized the importance of that. And so since Pentecost, one now is under the drawing influence of God. He has a measure of understanding regarding the sacrifice and the Lord's baptism. And so as we count the cost, we are encouraged that we can express our consecration with the same words that the Lord expressed his that I mentioned earlier in Psalms 48. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is written in my heart. And this is the way that you can express it. And this, we know, is pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Now, as you considered, and as we all considered, the cost of consecration, I'm sure that we were overwhelmed at the great cost before the invitation could even be given, because it cost the Heavenly Father the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. And I think that we can appreciate that in measure, but I think that we will not really know what that cost really was until we're beyond the veil. Secondly, it cost our Lord death on Calvary's cross. And not only the actual death, that in itself being something terrible, but the way he was mistreated for 3.5 years. Now, the cost to us is our all. That's the cost to us, our all. Our justified humanity. And you know, it seems so small. In fact, so very small by comparison to the Lord. Even as the hymn states, I would that it were not so small. But small though it be, still it is our all. And this is pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Now, a reasonable question that I think that we could ask would be, where does water enter into the picture of baptism? Immersion in water is a beautiful symbol. The symbol of baptism into Christ. Even John couldn't understand it. And remember what the Lord had to tell him. Suffer it to be so. Continue with it. John could understand it. John wasn't spirit begotten. But later, those who followed him, and we ourselves can appreciate what the Master meant by that. Yes, this symbol was practiced by the early church. And so we can say to any who have given their hearts to God, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. At times, the necessity of the symbol is questioned. Perhaps from the viewpoint that it's a ritual. But it's not a ritual to fellowship. No, it is not a ritual to fellowship. Not at all. However, whatever the motive or the reason, we suggest the example that was set by our Lord and by the early church who practiced the symbol. Water immersion is a testimony to others. It's a constant reminder to ourselves. And it will be a constant reminder to you every time that you will attend a baptismal service. It will remind you, it will remind us that we have made a definite decision. The most important decision of our life. It will remind us that we have consecrated ourselves really to the Heavenly Father. And that we immersed ourselves into the will of God. And that our life is hid with Christ and God. Now at times, as I mentioned earlier, there might be the feeling that one is not good enough to consecrate. And this is true. This is true that no one is good enough in their own righteousness. No, not at all. But when one comes in consecration, the Lord imputes his merit. And the Father accepts us in the Beloved. We are now in Christ, and therefore we are justified in God's sight. And I like the way Paul puts it in Romans the 8th chapter and the first verse. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful thought. So we know that as a result of the imputation of the merit, we have been relieved, as it were, from Adamic sin to the point to where God can recognize or reckon us as being new creatures in Christ. How thankful and grateful we are that the door to the high calling is open and that there is no scriptural evidence that testifies that the door to the high calling is closed. And it will not be closed until the last member of the church is beyond the veil. Or more specifically, we have the assurance it will not be closed until the Lord closes the door. No man closes the door. Now, a question that I think that you might be thinking about, and many times that we ask ourselves, should one know if he is accepted of God? And this might be just one of the tests that may come to your mind as you continue your Christian life after the convention. Should I know if I am accepted of God? The answer is yes. One should know, because the scripture tells us in 1 John 2:20, but ye have an unction and anointing from the Holy One, and ye all know it. Again, we have Paul tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 16th verse, the Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me ask you a question that you can probably answer very easily. How does one know if he's worldly minded? You think that way, and you do that way. So conversely, the opposite would be true. How do we know if we're spiritually minded? If we think that way, and if we do that way, and we know the truth. The truth is not given to everybody to understand. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter and the 4th verse, that these things are spiritually discerned. The fact that you're able to understand God's plan is a proof to you that you are begotten by His Spirit, that His Spirit is upon you. So do not permit this temptation or this question to enter any doubts into your mind. Sometimes when there's not an immediate assurance, there may be a tendency to doubt or to question spirit begettled. But be not discouraged. Just continue to sacrifice the flesh in its interest. And as you grow in grace and in knowledge, the assurance of sonship will become very evident. Your sacrifice will find expression in many ways. For example, it will involve the use of your time, but not to the neglect of those things which are the sight, which are honest in the sight of all men, which Paul tells us in Romans 12:17. Those of you that have responsibilities of a home, a family, father, mother, you have responsibilities. And it doesn't mean that you neglect them. It really means that you do them better. In addition to recognizing your responsibility as a new creature in Christ. And so, though you have obligation and responsibilities, it is expected that you carry them out in a way that would please the Father. Your consecration, your sacrifice will involve the use of everything you possess. Because the stewardship that you had, that you gave when you gave your all, is not put in your care. Now this stewardship belongs to the Lord, and you have the privilege of exercising it properly. It will involve your attitude toward the brethren, your attitude toward all men. Yes, you will be tested, because it is written that the Lord thy God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. You may be at times tested in a most unsuspecting way, perhaps in wanting your own way. Perhaps as an individual or as a member of a minority, you may want your way. You may consider something a principle which may not only be an opinion, but even an error. So don't be tempted to assert yourself on issues like that. These kind of experiences in your Christian life may make you feel neglected and slighted. But do not permit discouragement to overtake you. Trust in the Lord, and you will be comforted. Your faith will be tested, and you will be asked to go through Gethsemane. But you will not go through it alone, because the Lord has promised I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And besides, you have your family, the brethren, that can help you and encourage you. Now, such experiences and testings will develop within you the Christian graces, because that's the only way, many times, that they can be developed, to make you a balanced Christian, realizing the importance of the development of doctrine, character development, and also the need of witnessing or service. These three will be uppermost in your Christian life. And not one particular, but all three in a balanced measure. As we all know that a tree does not grow all its branches on one side. And therefore, God had given to us power, love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Therefore, Brother Lee and Brother Bruce, Sister Helen, Sister Esther, and Brother Red and Brother Dan, may you study to be approved unto God, that you may be rooted and grounded in the truth. May the expression, thus saith the Lord, be ever precious to you as you walk in the shining path of truth, which shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And remember, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will lead you beside the still water of truth. He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all the way. And you will learn that the greatest joy that ever comes into the life of a creature comes through the endeavor to do the will of the Heavenly Father. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. We would like to sing one verse of hymn number 104. And if there are any others who wish to symbolize their consecration, we would like you to come to the front row during the singing. Brother Cliff, would you stand and face the brethren? Brother Cliff, I forgot your last name at the moment.
Jacob.
Brother Cliff Jacobs from Orlando. Thank you, Brother Cliff. Now we will be favored by a special number. Never alone. Thank you, brethren. He promised never to leave you. No, never alone. We'd like to ask the candidates to stand up and come up on the stage in front of the organ. Be careful as you come up the stairs. I'm going to ask you the questions that I repeated before. And the first question I'm going to ask you, do you realize that by nature you are a sinner and have you repented? Have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, trusting in His merit as the basis of your justification? Have you consecrated yourself without reservation to God? Well, on the basis of your affirmative answer to these questions, I'm very happy, my pleasure, to be happy, your brethren, here to come and to offer unto you the right hand of fellowship.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted thee. So Bruce, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Mr. Heller, thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Brother Ed, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Brother Esther, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear, but man shall do unto me. Brother Dan, my presence shall go with thee. I will be healed.
Better, let's all turn to hymn number 229 and sing the verses of that hymn while the candidates are readying and getting down to the pool. And after the hymn, we'll have some directions for you before Walter closes with prayer. First and last.
loving, kind, and merciful Heavenly Father, with gratefulness we come before Thee in the name of our dear Master. We thank Thee, Father, for this service. We thank Thee, Father, for these dear ones who have made a consecration unto Thee. We thank Thee, Father, for the privilege we have to be a source of comfort and strength and help to them. And may they realize Thy overruling providence on their behalf. May they realize the promise of Thy watchful care. And may they endeavor to know Thee better, to be able to serve Thee. May pour out Thy Spirit upon them, increase their understanding of Thy plans and purposes, that indeed that they might be found pleasing to Thee in a glory. Father, we pray that this service has rekindled within our hearts and our minds the desire to serve Thee better and to thank Thee for the way that Thou hast led us thus far and for, Father, the assurance that will continue to be with us if we seek Thee and look for Thee. And so, Father, we would invoke Thy blessing upon the immersion part of this service now. Bless those who will be instrumental, and especially do we ask Thy Spirit upon us and upon the dear ones as they go through this experience. We ask these favors in Jesus' dear name.